You're listening to the audio version of the longjohn.com blog post, Mind in the Gutters, number 1, Satoshi Kon's Opus. Mind in the Gutters is a space where I can discuss specific comments without any particular relevance or connection to Long John itself. This first discussion is of the incomplete manga Opus by late celebrated animation director Satoshi Kon. To view the text version of this, check it out at longjohncomic.com. It's not a lie that much of Satoshi Kon's manga, Opus, which was published stateside by Dark Horse Comics in November 2014, is basically an action-adventure version of 2006's Stranger Than Fiction, a drama-comedy directed by Mark Forster and starring Will Ferrell as an unknowing protagonist of a novel written by a novelist who is played by Emma Thompson in the real world. The major plot point of the film comes when the protagonist and the novelist actually meet, and they both realize that they either have much less or more power, respectively, over their lives than previously known, and they're both horrified. Kon's Opus follows a similar meta-trajectory, with the meeting happening much earlier, and the fallout of such a meeting being much more catastrophic, manic, and ultimately absurd. The presence and similarity of Opus to Stranger Than Fiction naturally throws suspicion upon the former. However, when one realizes that Opus was the final long-form manga of Kon's before he dove headfirst into directing animated works, and was originally published starting in 1995, suspicion is quickly turned on its head. Comparing the two works is not the goal here, rather it's the examination of metatextual works, specifically those where fictional character and possibly fictional creator meet. And despite how often they can be confusing head trips, though not as confusing or confounding as intricate time travel, I would argue, their apparent world-breaking nature actually belies a limited array of storytelling options. This is only confirmed by placing these two works, published in different decades and different countries with different cultures, next to each other. What Opus basically boils down to is a bouncing back and forth between the fictional world and quote-unquote reality. The latter becomes rather complicated in the final unfinished chapter, however. In the fictional world, it's full of peril and fantasy. In the real world, it's a situational comedy, not unlike watching something like Bewitched, where the creator doesn't want everyone to find out his fictional hero is actually alive and in the real world, all while being plagued by the deadlines of his editors to finish his comic. What drives the whole story is guilt, confronting the question that drives most creatives to create. That is, what if these characters were real people in these situations? And asks them to really follow that line of thinking through. How much responsibility does a creator have to his or her characters? Ostensibly, the metatextual questions of Opus are examining the medium in which its characters are aware of being a part. Comics. More widely, however, I would argue pretty much every metatextual story that has the creator meet the created becomes a convoluted narrative about storytelling in general. Which is great. However, I feel it really does prescribe a plot in order to keep it from becoming simply generic science fiction or fantasy. The unpolished writer would avoid such larger questions, or ask them early on and then ignore the answers, and it would kind of become a standard man-out-of-time-or-place story, like a Yankee in King Arthur's Court, John Carter of Mars, Mary Sue kind of situation, when the character from reality simply becomes another character in the fiction. Instead, throughout Opus, characters keep asking the creator variations on the question, "Why would you do this to us?" What's interesting is that the answers to the impassioned questions are incredibly impersonal, because a lot of story decisions are made for the sake of the craft rather than the character, thus hinting at the age-old idea that writers, who are usually considered to be rather empathic because they can place themselves in the shoes of people who don't exist, are actually psychopathic with regard to the characters. This is powerfully illustrated in Opus, in a scene in which the fictional hero asks her creator of her story, "Does my story have to be so sad?" The creator blanches and sweats and smiles, replying, "Well, I have to keep it interesting." The hero falls to the floor. "I've struggled my whole life, and it wasn't even my life," she says. "I struggled to create your life," her creator responds. "You've struggled to create something entertaining," she screams. Such is the struggle of every creative working with plot and characters, and often what separates the scared writers from the productive ones. If fiction asks of its writers to love their characters and then throw rocks at them, metafiction of this nature asks writers to realize the fallout to throwing rocks at the characters they love, that the characters aren't only being challenged but are being harmed in the process. We're in the business of making broken people. This leads me to wonder why Opus is asking this question. Why try to scare writers off from making things tragic, sad, and, for lack of a better term, interesting? It is the answer to this question that I think Opus generally succeeds on a closer inspection. Such profundity is well hidden behind gorgeous set pieces and riveting action, many, many pages of action. But I think the manga's ultimate statement is not that we should care more for our characters, but that we suffer right along with them. As much as we worry about deadlines, those both arbitrary and real, creators are as much a part of the story as their characters. More than that, creators are as much trapped in their medium as their characters, and, as illustrated in the final unpublished chapter, the further one tries to excavate the divide between fiction and reality, the more layers you find, or perhaps you create. This leads to the fundamental problem of a story like Opus. The further you weave out toward reality, the truth is that you can never truly represent real reality in a comic form. It's a problem or paradox worthy of Zeno. One can approximate and one can be honest or accurate, but whether it's through skillful drawing or even the use of video or photographs, the full meta-crisis only exists in the text, thus keeping it as a fun diversion for a creator, rather than the ethical dilemma such a scenario is portrayed as being in the work. Satoshi Kon's Opus is fun and is never really difficult to follow, but as a manga that is trying to say something, I found it effective more in afterthought than in the moment. Kon's art is polished, and his page and panel composition are inventive, which makes it clear why he was also such a good fit for animation. What's interesting, however, is that the story he was trying to tell in Opus is a story that could only be told as a comic. To make an animated version or live-action version of it would either flatten the entire premise, or, to avoid that, you'd have to fundamentally rework the premise. Change the creator to an animation director rather than a comicker, for instance. Opus is a comic about comics. And to that end, I'm glad it exists, even in the quote-unquote unfinished form that it is. I would argue, however, that to pursue a comic like this would have pushed it into a realm that would have either been untenable or plain cheesy, again, as hinted in the final unfinished chapter, which I will not spoil for you here. And I would like to believe that Kon knew this as well, and realized that its unfinished state is probably the best way to end his story. You can buy Satoshi Kon's Opus at the Dark Horse Comics website, or at Amazon.com, or at the finer comic retailers in your area. I'm Dee Bethel. Be sure to check back for regular blog updates and the Long John comic at longjohncomic.com. Thank you for listening.